damit herzlich willkommen zur ersten Ausgabe vom All You Can Eat Interview Podcast im neuen Jahr, im Jahr 2026. Am 30. Januar erscheint das neue Album von Landi Hecht und ich habe mit ihr darüber gesprochen. Das war schon im November letzten Jahres und es hat ein bisschen gedauert, pipapo etc. Leben, ihr wisst schon, wie das ist. Aber hier ist das Gespräch mit Landi Hecht über das neue Album, darüber, wie das entstanden ist, ob sie stolz ist darauf, was sie da gemacht hat, wie das ist, Social Media nebenbei zu machen und. Und ich habe es vergessen am Anfang, der All You Can Eat Interview Podcast. Mein Name ist Lele Lukas. Ich wünsche euch viel Spaß bei dem Gespräch und wir hören uns danach nochmal. Who are you?
I am Landi Hecht and I'm a musician from England.
Okay. So my next question on my list is, what do you do? And you said you're a musician. What does that mean for you personally?
Well, I am an indie musician, so I play indie songs. It's not necessarily my only profession because I do lots of other jobs as well, as most musicians do in this day and age. I work in music venues quite a lot. I used to work in a record shop. But at the moment, I've only just moved to a new town. So musician really is my only profession right now.
So are you looking for new record shops to work at right now? And how does that, do they look at you funny when you say you're a musician when you start applying there? Or are they like, well, everybody is, so welcome to the fold?
I actually asked about working, and there's a really good record shop around the corner from where I've just moved. And they did say that they're not hiring, but they did ask me to play like an in-store gig in the shop, which is also nice. But yeah, wasn't what I was asking. But I guess it's kind of that's what will happen sometimes. If
that's one way to get the foot in the door, I guess.
Yeah, maybe if I play enough gigs, maybe I'll finally be hired behind the counter.
And I mean, you can make sure that they always have your records. So that, because
exactly,
that they better do, I guess.
Exactly.
We are talking because you ended up at Tapete Records. How does one end up in the label far, far, not that far, but far away?
Well, I think Tapete have signed a few British artists recently. So they have, you know, people working in the UK, or at least one person working in the UK. And yeah, I was just aware of the label. Like, it's such a great label, and it's not, obviously they put out a lot of music from all over the place, and they do put out a lot of UK artists. So it's not unheard of. But it's kind of funny that, yeah, the one label that I'm now working with is all the way across in Hamburg.
How does that work in general? Does an indie musician just lift a certain kind of flag that says, I'm looking for a label? And then, or do you go from door to door and say, here, I'm looking? How does this work?
I think, I can't actually remember. I mean, traditionally, I think it works that the label will get in touch with a band or the management. But often, yeah, I think you just get in touch with a couple of labels that you like, or maybe just one label, and just try and make it work and try and convince them that you're worth working with, especially if you've not met them before or they haven't seen you play live before. But I think we just got in touch with them and, you know, said that we love the label, and we've got, at that point, I had a record finished and kind of ready to listen to. So that was quite handy that I'd already recorded one.
And that is the one that comes out in January, was it, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. What did they think? Did they say, yes, great, we'll do it? Or did you start a 2 years negotiation process? What was it like?
Yeah. This was 5 years ago and we've only just reached a deal. No, I was very lucky that they liked the record, so they and they've been so nice to work with. So I feel like I've lucked out there.
Nice. How do you like the record?
I like the record, yeah. I mean, I'm happy enough with it that I'm pursuing putting it out. But I think until it's out and people have given me their bits of feedback, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about it. Because it's such a strange relationship that you can have sometimes as an artist with the music that you make for yourself. Hmm. And for me, I make music for myself. And then, but then there's the other side of it where if you are planning to release it, you have to know that everyone's going to listen to it, or that certain people are going to listen to it and they're going to have thoughts on it. So it kind of becomes this next thing. And I'm kind of in that in-between phase where I'm waiting for it to be released and I'm not sure what people will think. But I'm happy with it so far. For me, for the record that I made for myself, I'm really happy with.
Okay. Is there a difference between the record that you made for yourself and the one that is coming out?
No. No, I think the only difference is, you know, it goes through a bit of a journey in that it's finished and you finish making it. And then it's quite private for ages until you start making the plans to release it. And then you start looking at it through a different lens or listening through at it differently because you're thinking that people are going to be hearing it soon.
Is there a temptation to change things at that point?
I think it's too late. It's already been sent off to the pressing plant. So yeah, I think at some point I have to just say, no, that's cool. You know, sign off on the masters and all that sort of stuff. And then it becomes very final. There's nothing you can do at that point. I mean, if you really hated it, I guess you could pull the plug, but it would be detrimental to your relationships with everyone you're working with.
Or just upload different versions on the online platforms.
Yeah, I guess you could end up doing that. It sounds like it would get quite complicated. Yes. You'd have to explain all of this to your fans and they'd be quite confused.
It makes the record much more special.
Yeah, you'd come across as quite hectic, I think.
I mean, the record is out in January. We're talking at the beginning of November. The record has been done long enough that you've had time to get a label, basically. What is that like, sitting around with the finished product and now it's off to the pressing plant and there's still like 3 months or something to go? Are you biting your nails every day? Are you knee deep in the social media hustle? What's going on?
I think I remember when I was younger, because I've been releasing music for quite a while. When I was younger, I think we were 18, my old punk band, we put our first vinyl record out when we were 18. And I remember it took nearly a year from when we recorded it to when it comes out, which is quite normal, actually. But I remember just finding it horrendous. And, you know, I didn't even like the music anymore and everything changed in that time. Because obviously you're so young, 12 months or 11 months or whatever it was is such a long time. But I think I've got used to it now. I know that you have to put certain things out of your mind and just get focused on making plans for like touring and yeah. And like you said, then there's the whole social media side of things. That wasn't really a thing when I was a teenager. Mm. There was just Facebook and whatever else. Not quite MySpace. I'm not that old, as old as MySpace. I had MySpace when I was about 12, but I wasn't putting out music onto MySpace particularly. But now everything's so different. You need to be posting every day on social media. And I'm not really that person. I really struggle to keep up with it. So I think, to be honest, I should be doing the whole social media hustle, like you said. But I don't have the stamina to stay with it for that long. So I do post bits and bobs and yeah, just kind of the main thing I like to fill my time with is making plans for touring.
I just looked, the first Muncie Girls thing I have in my music library thingy is Sleepless from 2013. So that is that is probably not the first thing you did, but that is a while ago. So
it is a while ago, yeah. The first demo we did was 2010.
Okay, yeah.
And the first, vinyl record was 2012. So yeah, it's a while ago.
That would be the question then. If you're, I mean, you've been doing this for quite some time. You wrote songs about bubble baths, about I don't know what else, about sobriety and so many more things. On the one hand, probably enough people know you by now that you don't have to do as much social media. But is it more of a reminding people that you exist or more of a getting new people on board?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends which angle you look at it from, because probably not that many people know my music in the grand scheme of of all of music. so maybe some new people eventually will find out about it. But I think with social media, I find the whole thing quite depressing and quite dystopian. But I also get endorphins from using it, just like everyone else does. So I'm kind of aware of how evil and strange and exploitative it is. But I'm also in the trap of using it and feeling good when you have a nice bright post that gets likes and these comments and stuff. So I think, I'm a little bit cynical over it, but I still use it because I know that it's an essential tool for independent artists at the moment.
It's weird having to use it, like there being no legitimate other ways except for, I don't know, snail mail, or I don't know what else is there. I mean, didn't they just start a new Bandcamp alike 3 days ago that is like people owned and stuff? Maybe that will take off, who knows.
I mean, honestly, it would be very welcome for something that works a little bit more in favor of artists. Because I think it can be really bad for your brain as an artist to be constantly trying to come up with content that honestly is just quite humiliating. And I think the whole concept of kind of e-begging for people to listen to your music, and it's quite degrading. Your content has to look very effortless and like you don't care, but you obviously care, otherwise you just wouldn't engage with it whatsoever. But you have to get this kind of balance right. And then if you just do really straightforward talking to camera, sparkly, cheesy, just speaking videos, then that's horrendous. And it feels so horrendous to put that out somewhere. But then if you don't do that and you just do kind of obscure posts that nobody engages with, then not as many people are going to come across your music as they could do. So it's a bit of a catch-22. I do think that it's detrimental to people's brains, artists' brains, as well as consumers' brains. I think there's too much for them to be able to make meaningful connections with albums, because they're just getting slapped in the face with this kind of content that obscures the art anyway. So I do think that it's just a bit of a murky waters.
I saw the early on today, preparing for interviews is always nowadays a little bit of light Instagram stalking. I did see a very nice video of you sitting by the shore, having a coffee or a tea. I don't know. It could have been
both.
It was a decaf
coffee.
Okay. And answering questions.
Yeah, I actually filmed that yesterday. So that's where we've just moved to, me and my partner. We've moved to a seaside town up in the north of England, in North Yorkshire. And it's 330 miles from where we were living down in Devon in the south. So it's a big change. But it's a lovely place and it's nice to make a video. So I thought I'd bite the bullet and do some talking on camera.
And I mean, the seaside, you can't go wrong with the seaside, I guess.
You can't go well, unless you're swimming and it's really cold.
Yeah, sure. Okay, but let's hope that the swimming is a choice. And I guess some people really want to go swimming in the cold. I don't get it, but like...
People do it.
Yes.
I'm going to try and get into that and become one of those people that can swim in the winter.
Wow. Okay. Good luck, I guess.
Thank you so much. I think I'll need it.
luck, and I don't know what else people need for that. The first song? Yes, first song of the new album is about shoes.
Yeah, the first single is it's about one pair of shoes.
Your favorite pair of shoes.
Yeah.
When do you know that a pair is a favorite pair?
I feel like it's just your pair that you return to time and time again. You know, you've got the pair that that you're constantly wearing, and that they're wrong for the weather. They're the wrong shoes for the weather, but you're going to wear them anyway. That's when you know they're your favorites, because because you shouldn't wear them and you still do,
even though the feet are cold.
Yeah, maybe they've got cracks in the in the soles, and they're letting in water, but it's not going to stop you.
Is that something where you would go to get the same pair again, or do you think it's a kind of a magical connection that only happens once in a lifetime?
I mean, I would definitely say magical connection, but that's the type of person I am. I don't tend to buy. I'm not taking the moral high ground here. I just don't have very much money. I don't tend to buy new shoes anyway. And also, I wouldn't buy new leather, but I'm ashamed to say that I do sometimes buy secondhand leather. So that's how I tend to get hold of my shoes.
Okay.
So I think if you're buying secondhand, you kind of get what you're given a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking, if I have a favorite pair, and then I think the important part is that they're also, like, I have shoes that I wear every day, but mostly because they're the ones I have, and not because I like them more than others.
And bizarre to me. And have you ended up living like this? You need to treat yourself.
But for me, it has always been a bit of a coin toss. Like, I get a pair of shoes, I wear them, they work well enough. And then at some point, it's like, well, no, they do actually sometimes hurt, or there's something that is not, doesn't elevate them to the favorite shoe status, you know?
Yeah, yeah, they never make the cut.
Yeah.
But maybe you need to really take more time in choosing your shoes, maybe. Maybe they need to be more striking to look at.
Hmm.
And then you'll feel amazing.
I hope so. Maybe one day.
One day. Everyone can have dreams, you know?
It's true. It's true. And those aren't bad dreams. Like, dreaming of a favorite pair of shoes, I could dream of much worse things.
Exactly.
For personal life goals and stuff. So we've got shoes, and what else is going to be there on the record? I read the nice, very nice text on the Tapete website, and it sounded kind of uplifting in a way, all in all.
Yeah, I think especially in comparison to my previous records, which are kind of unequivocally negative in their content, whereas I think this record is relatively positive. It's definitely got, there are parts in the songs that are a bit melancholic, but I think the general atmosphere of the record is a bit more uplifting. There are some more moments of hope, which is nice.
How did you, was that a conscious decision? Did that just come about? Did you look at it when you were done and were like, oh, this is more uplifting than the one before?
Yeah, I think it's more that I looked at it when it was done. I think with every record I've made before, I kind of haven't made a plan for the content or the theme and then written it as a whole with the kind of bigger picture in mind. I've just waited until I've had enough songs to record, and what puts them together in a group is the fact that they've been written at a similar time, which obviously, I mean, it seems really obvious in some ways, but I think it depends from artist to artist how they make their records. Maybe some artists have a massive pool of songs to choose from, and then they can kind of group them together, or maybe they write them specifically for this one theme. Or, I mean, if you're writing a concept album, I guess that's probably how it works, but I've never written anything like that, really. I've just, for this project especially, it's just whatever comes out. So for this collection of songs that came at the same time or a similar time over a year or two, once I'd put them together and put them in order and then had a proper listen through and tried to understand what I could interpret from it, that's when I noticed that I was capturing a time in my life where I think I was just feeling a lot happier than before, which is really nice. And also there's a bit of a return in some of the songs to a more kind of political theme, which even though when I have lyrics that are slightly political, it's usually quite negative, obviously pointing out problems with politics or social problems. But I think the reason why I see that as positive is because I was so disengaged from politics before for the last few years that I wouldn't bother talking about politics, you know, in a public way or writing lyrics about politics, because I'd kind of disengaged because I was so depressed about that and so kind of upset with the state of things. So I think just that the fact that I feel like I'm engaging now is a really positive thing. And I hope other people feel like that as well, if they've started to engage more in the last couple of years, as things are getting a lot worse in the UK. Like we're facing quite a lot of fascism here in the UK. And so deciding to engage, even if you're pointing out things that are a bit negative, is actually an overall positive thing because you're taking a small amount of action.
A while ago, I was talking to a different band, and they said that they're not really, they had trouble saying that they're proud of their music. And I was wondering how you feel about that.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting, like the idea of pride in itself is kind of seen as a negative thing. I mean, it's literally, isn't it a sin? I don't know much about sins and that, but yeah, I think to be proud of your own work, especially, you know, like I'm from the UK, so it's a bit, it's looked, people frown on you for being kind of proud or self-congratulatory. So I guess I wouldn't automatically feel proud. I would just avoid feeling that. But I'm proud of what I've made. I'm proud, like this album, I stand by it, you know. Like I'm happy with what I made, and I definitely did the best I could and worked the hardest on this record that I could. So I'm definitely proud of the work that I've put in. And I hope that I'll feel proud once it comes out. But it's definitely not a word I would use to describe how I feel about myself and my music. But I don't know if that's just because of the negative connotations of someone feeling proud of themselves. Like that's literally something you say, oh, are you proud of yourself? That's like, that's something you say when you're kind of annoyed at someone, isn't it? So I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's just an interesting concept.
Yeah. I was just wondering, because you said that you were listening to the songs and then kind of finding out what the whole theme of it all could be. And I was wondering, is that kind of a thing that happens next to everything else? Or do you actually sit down, make somewhat of a ritual of it, to listen to it, to find out what you've made?
Yeah, I think I ritualistically, is that a word? Anyway, I listen to it on purpose afterwards, and, you know, good speakers or good headphones, and listen through, because it's also very important. It's like you said earlier, you've got to be sure that you're happy with what you've done and that it's finished. You have to finalize the record and say, yes, this is how I wanted it to sound, or yes, there's no small mistakes or issues with the kind of mix or the sound of it or anything like that. I had to re-record a whole song's worth of vocals because what was the word? I just said a word really strangely. I used like the vowel came out wrong. and the producer, my friend Matt, he couldn't really hear it, but I could hear it. So I know what it was. I sang the word sink, like where you have your taps and your sink, but I said sink. Like with two E's instead of an I. So I had to go back and re-record the whole set of vocals. So I think taking time out to listen to something properly is really important. Plus that is a really nice moment, as long as you're happy with it. because it's stuff you've been working on for ages. It's like if you imagine a painter has just spent a year on a massive painting, and then they take a step back and have a look and they're like, oh, great. You know, that's a nice feeling to have finished something like a big, big project. It's a little bit like that. And then maybe after that, you don't really want to be listening to it all the time. But certainly it's good to have a proper listen.
Yeah. So did you just go through your demo archive and pick out the ones that you liked? Or were all the songs that you wrote between the last album and this one on the, yeah, I don't know, on the in laid out, and then came the chopping block? How did you pick and choose?
Yeah, I recorded almost all of the songs I wrote from the last album until this one. And then some of them didn't make it all the way to the end, but most of them did. So I definitely chose the ones that made sense to go in this on this record.
How much of it was an immediate, like a gut feeling, and how much of it was an argument, a points list, I don't know, a pro and cons?
Pretty much all of it is just a gut feeling. I'm not much of a logical thinker. I'm more just an intuitive thinker. So yeah, if it sounded good and felt good, I would put that specific song on the record. And also just like putting them in order as well. Mm. I know that some people have, I mean, maybe I'd use a little bit of logic in terms of when you're ordering the track listing, you would do a side A for a record and a side B. Mm. So you need it to kind of round off and then start back up again, that sort of thing. Other than that, I just have a gut feeling about things and then put them in order kind of blindly, or pick them out kind of blindly.
Would you say that is a thing that has, like, being a solo musician, is that made that easier? Or do you sometimes wish for more? Or how much do you talk with other people about the order of the songs and picking the songs and so on and so forth?
A little bit. I spoke about it a little bit with a few people, but ultimately I find it a lot easier now that I don't operate in a democracy, or it's a democracy of one most of the time. But basically when you've got a whole group and a whole band and each person's voice matters, trying to decide on things like that is an absolute nightmare. Because obviously it's incredible to have multiple minds and multiple ideas, and then hopefully you pick the best of everyone. And that's the idea behind it. But a lot of the time what happens is it slows things up, and it makes it harder to make decisions. And if you're not making decisions quickly, you're stalling on what you could be just getting done. So for me, I find it simpler, and because I'm quite a decisive person in a lot of ways, for example, which songs am I going to put on the record, I do find that quite easy, because I would just listen and be like, nope, and then it's done and there's no time taken over it.
Okay, what happens to the nopes?
It's a good question. I think different things happen each album cycle. Sometimes I don't do anything with them. Sometimes I make a plan to make a record out of those nopes, because ultimately they're not nopes because they're bad songs and I'm not happy with them. They might just not fit on the collection, or they might all belong on a collection together. But sometimes I'll save them for, you know, like compilations, or at some point it'd be quite nice to have a record altogether of all the songs that didn't make it onto albums. So I think, yeah, sometimes it's just I've just saved them, and they're kind of sitting away and I forget about them.
Do you go back to them when you start writing or collecting songs again, or are they all of a certain cycle?
They're pretty much all of a certain cycle. Yeah, if I'm writing songs again, I'm usually thinking so much into the future and thinking about current songs that I've lost all interest in what came before.
Do you always work on multiple things at once, or do you have one thing that kind of dominates the mind?
You mean like songs? Usually I will work on one song at a time. Yeah, I guess it's a bit like people are like that with books, aren't they? Some people read multiple books at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people can't do that. But I think with songs, if I put a song down before it's finished, the chances are I either won't finish it ever, or if I do force myself to finish it when I've kind of left the zone of it, it won't have the right tone. If I've left it, then I think I can't recreate that magic of when I'm writing it. So I think it is always best just to do one song after another.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, no, I'm one of those multiple books at a time person people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one novel, one nonfiction, that sort of thing.
So it is two at the same time, or just one of either?
Okay, yeah.
Question mark.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think I could really read two novels at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I see no problem with reading a novel and reading a biography or a nonfiction book, because it's like a totally different thing. Mm. Like, you could watch a TV series and then read some of your book.
Yeah.
And that's not an issue. But I think maybe reading two novels, unless they're really different. But I mean, honestly, I wish I read more than I do. I love reading so much. But yeah. Yeah. Some people just inhale books, though.
Yeah. Used to be like that, maybe at some point in the time.
Yeah, before your attention span was eaten by social media.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Well, what can you do? is there something we forgot? I forgot. There's no tour as of yet, if I'm correct.
No, but that is because I am currently planning and booking.
Nice.
So I'm hoping to announce a tour quite soon, actually.
That sounds wonderful. The album is out on the 30th of January. Starting the year on a good note there. And then, yeah, is there anything I forgot? Anything you still want to mention, talk about, etc.?
I don't think so. I think we covered a broad range.
Okay. Cool. Then, thank you so much for talking to me. That was great.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was lovely to talk to you.
Am 30. Januar erscheint das neue Album von Landy Hecht. Es heißt Lucky Now. Bis jetzt ist eine Tour durch die UK angekündigt. Die geht am 4. April los und endet dann am 25. April. Fingers crossed, dass da auch noch was über den Teich rüberkommt. Es gibt mehrere Singles bis jetzt. Die letzte hieß tatsächlich genauso wie das Album Lucky Now. Das Album erscheint bei Tapete Records. Ihr könnt es überall da vorbestellen, wo ihr eure Alben bekommt. Und ich denke, ihr solltet das machen. Ihr könnt es euch natürlich auch einfach bei Bandcamp kaufen oder bei Tapete direkt bestellen. An der Stelle vielen, vielen Dank für das Gespräch und Entschuldigung, dass es so lange gedauert hat. Mein Name ist Lede Lukas. Ihr findet mehr von All You Can Eat auf dragonseateverything.com. Schaut es euch an, hört euch ein Interview an. Vielleicht findet ihr ein Interview mit einer alten Lieblingsband oder vielleicht findet ihr eure neue Lieblingsband. Wir sind alle zwei Wochen bei Alex Berlin um 18 Uhr live im Radio. Könnt ihr hören auf alex-berlin.de/radio. Bis dann.
I dedicate this program to the fight against crime. Not merely crimes of violence and crimes of dishonesty, but crimes of intolerance, discrimination, and bad citizenship.
Good night, and good luck.